Welcome to CSEK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CSEK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CSEK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CSEK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CSEK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CSEK News. For months now, Northwest BC has been locked into a level 5 drought right across the region. And as summer turns into fall, increased bear activity is happening right across the region in every community from Prince George to Terrace and beyond, and in some cases ending with a dead bear. More than 30 black bears have been shot and killed in PG this year so far, as more bears move into town looking for food. Here in the Bulkley Valley and Northwest, we've seen a lot of bear activity as well, mostly eating apples left on the branch all over the valley due to very low, if any, berries left in the bush, which is what bears are usually eating at this time of year in preparation for hibernation. There have been many interactions, but no reported injuries or overly aggressive bears so far in the Bulkley Valley. However, in many areas and communities, the BC Conservation Service is asking residents to only call the COs if there is an aggressive bear due to the high number of calls they've been getting all season long. But when a sow, a mama bear, is killed, and yes, it does happen, there are often orphaned bears that need care, and that care usually falls to the Northern Lights Wildlife Shelter on the Telka High Road, the only full-scale bear rehabilitation center in the world. They've also seen a lot of activity this season, and they are expecting more in the coming months, not just because of the increased human-bear interactions so far this year, but also because of the devastating wildfires which has affected thousands of animals, and we don't even know the full scale of injured and orphaned bears yet, as crews continue to move back into areas that have been slammed by wildfires this year. Today, we'll check in with Angelica Langen, co-founder of the Northern Lights Wildlife Shelter, which currently has 20 young black bears, and they're expecting to see a lot more before the year is out. Stay with...
I'm Angelica Langen. We are at the Northern Lights Wildlife Shelter in Smithers, and I am the co-founder and manager of the shelter.
Angelica, maybe you can tell me a little bit about what you guys do here at the Northern Lights Wildlife Shelter when you receive an orphaned or injured bear.
We provide for cubs of the year a safe haven where they can grow up until they're old enough to look after themselves. So typically when a mother sow, like a mother bear, is killed for whatever reason, then the cubs are orphaned. They can't survive on their own because they just too young to do that. And we take them in, we keep them here, look after them until next year when we release them at a time where they would normally leave their mother. So usually around June.
For months now, our region here in Northwest BC has been in this level 5 drought, not a whole lot of berries in the bush, which the bears are usually eating around this time and into the fall. How is this year different than other years that you've dealt with?
Well, it's just starting to become different. Typically, we don't get the effects of those kinds of things until they get really dire. In form of the fires, we get them once they can go back into areas where fires have been, because when the fires are still going, nobody's allowed in there to rescue wildlife. So we are kind of in the after effects. The same is for the drought. Like in the beginning, there's less food, now there's no food, and then the problems start. So it's a double problem for us right now. Bears in areas where there was no fire, they still get moved out because there's no food for them. So they come into the lower lying areas, and that's where things are still greenish and they hope to find food. And that's where they encounter people, because that's typically where people settle. And then the problems start. So whether it's a fire or the drought that's driving them out doesn't really make any difference. But for us, it means that province-wide, bears are in trouble.
Obviously, due to many of these conditions, it's been a tough year. We're just seeing the beginning of this. But Why do so many of these bears this year need to be rescued?
We only deal with orphans, so only cubs of the year that come in here. So in our case, it always means that for some reason, these cubs have lost their mother. This can be through vehicle accidents, it can be through fire or somebody shooting the mother. It doesn't matter to us, it's just a matter that the cubs are no longer protected by the mother and then they come to us.
You mentioned earlier about the impacts of the wildfires on the bears, and you have received a bear that had an impact or burns from a wildfire. Maybe tell me a little bit more about that bear.
Well, the most current one is obviously the cub that we got out of the wildfires and near Chase in the Shuswap. She walked on burnt ground and burned her paws. Luckily, not really severely. It looked really bad when she first came, but she's been with us a week now and she's healing up really good. So, but I mean, those kinds of things, we had no idea. She was caught in a life trap, so nobody saw that the paws were burned. And then during transport, she reached a paw out of the transport cage and all of a sudden we saw that it was all burned up and bleeding and so on. So those kinds of things really get to you. We have another cub in that was in Prince George and obviously got chased by dogs and got bitten. The leg got infected and I'm working with him right now. He's not doing too hot, but we're trying to save the leg and make him well again. So those kinds of things happen now with the bears coming into contact with humans. Dogs are a big danger to cubs, and when they get bitten, the wounds usually infect really quickly and badly.
Angelica, you and Peter have been doing this a long time, the better part of, you know, 30, 40 years almost. And you've obviously seen a lot of bears injured and orphaned over that time. But, you know, what are some of the emotions that come up when you're dealing with these bears this year? Seeing those burns on the bear's paws is pretty intense. So how does that make you feel? And what kind of emotions go through your head when you have to deal with this?
Well, that's a good part because we know we can make a difference. What's really getting to us is thinking about all the ones that we don't know about and that we haven't reached yet. And are we going to be in time to make a difference, or are the infections are going to be so bad at that point that it doesn't help anymore, right? So when you get those in, like I'm afraid with this little PG bear right now, is that it might have been already too late because the infection is pretty bad. He's in pretty rough shape. We knew about him for about 2.5 weeks, but as long as he was mobile, conservation officers just didn't have a chance. Every time they came, he was gone. They tried, and so when they finally caught him, it was because he was slowing down because he was so sick. So often we don't get them until things get really critical.
So we're into September here, Angelica, and you obviously have a number of bears here, but wildfires are still burning across the province, and it's most likely that we will see more bears. So what are you expecting in the next couple months?
We're expecting a lot more calls. We're expecting to be really busy in the next few months. It's going to get really bad. The need will be humongous, and we're just going to try the best we can to fill it.
Angelica, you know as well as I do that there's been a lot of calls coming into COs about bears coming into communities like Smithers and Terrace, especially in places like Prince George. But you guys see bears from all over. The droughts, the forest fires, you know, what are the connections that you're seeing, and where are most of the bears that you're receiving coming from?
Hard to tell at this point. It will clarify it a little bit more as we go forward. Again, we don't get into some of the areas until the fires are out. So what we get from there, I can't really tell yet. At the moment, there is a lot of bears in Quesnel. They're just starting to come into Williams Lake as well. There's a lot of bears in Prince George, a lot of bears here in Smithers. And a lot of this is a problem because people don't manage their attractants. So the bears are actually traveling through in search of food and then encounter things in people's yard, like an apple tree that hasn't been picked, a garden that's unprotected, garbage that's unprotected, and their desire or their need to find all those calories right now is then met by those finds. And they provide more calories than what they can find out there in the bush, so they don't want to leave. So we hear both sides of the story. We hear people that don't want the bears there and just want them to be removed, but they're not willing to manage the attractants. And then we have people who say, well, I know the animals are having a hard time and I don't mind sharing my apple tree and so on. But in both cases, I really have to encourage people, just managing your attractants will move the bears onwards. They're going to go to other places to look for food, and you're not helping them by allowing them to feed on your apple tree or your garbage, because you're training them that close to people, they find better food than out in the bush. They will be back all the time, and you're creating a problem. The other thing that a lot of people don't know is that the females got bred in June, but the embryos do not implant until they go into hibernation. So the condition of the bear, of the female bear, at the point of hibernation will determine how many cubs she's going to have next year. So if you're feeding them or allowing them to feed on your garbage and so on, instead of one or two cubs, she will have three, four, five. And you're artificially increasing the population in your area. And that's, I think, Prince George and West Kelowna are really good samples. When I talk to conservation officers, they have huge problems with people managing attractants in those areas, and the bear population is rising because they get so much food. So if you don't want bears around, don't feed them.
Once the wildfires are over, you guys have a lot of work to do to go into some of these places to see what animals are left, what animals are struggling and need rehabilitation. What does that look like in the next couple of months as we hopefully move in on the way out of this fire season, and obviously bears are struggling to get ready for hibernation?
So it's going to be a combination of us and the conservation officers. So the public will call things in. Conservation officers will also go in the areas after the fires. Like, that's what they're doing in the Shuswap right now. That's where these cubs are coming from. And then they capture them, call us, we arrange transportation and so on. In some cases, when conservation officers are too busy, we have trained volunteers and we set our own traps and monitor and so on. So it's going to be teamwork. We do this all the time, and we're really grateful for our good relationships there. And that way we can save as many lives as possible. And we're just going to have to wait and see moving forward. The worst year we ever had was a few years ago, where we had 75 cubs over the winter. I hope we don't reach that number again. But if we do, we're ready for it. We have the facilities. We can take these animals in and give them a second chance. Oh, that might be a seal. Just hang on.
Yeah.
It's a no-collar ID. It's often a seal. Angelica speaking. Can I help you? Absolutely. Yes, very much. Our freezer is empty. Okay. It is. You can call me if you don't see anybody when you're coming in. We're often somewhere on the property taking care of the animals. So, but you can reach me on this number, and then I can make sure somebody meets you there. Awesome. Thank you. We'll see you then. Okay. Bye. See, that's another thing. Fishery and Oceans, they have to seize those fish that are illegally caught, and they're bringing us the fish. Nice. So it has it didn't start out like this, but by now it's really like we're working all together, yeah, working towards the same goal to help these animals, right? Yeah. And it's pretty awesome.
Like you said earlier, you know, it's great to see everybody working together, but how often are you getting calls like this? You know, is it second nature for, you know, Fish and Wildlife and the conservation officers to bring you fish, to bring you stuff that they think that the bears need?
Yeah, I don't think it's quite second nature yet, but it's getting there. It's sometimes really hard for the conservation officers. You know, you have to try to put yourself into their shoes. They canvass these areas. They're trying to make people listen to them and say, remove the attractants. We're going to have to shoo the mother bear. And, you know, we have established years ago with conservation officers, we absolutely do not want to be a feel-good solution for people who don't care about the bears. And the feel-good solution is, well, mom got shot. Most people don't care so much about the adult bear because they're scared of it anyway. But the cubs shouldn't be dying. So then we just sent the cubs to Northern Lights. That's not what we're here for. We're here for accidents, for fires, for unforeseen things that can't be done. We're not here to make people just be negligent. And so we agree with conservation officers that in some cases, both mother and cubs will be put down because the people in the neighborhood just don't care. Usually when a cub dies, the neighbors get pretty upset and put out some pressure, and then hopefully that doesn't happen again.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.